Now, the rest of the story. There were labor union meetings all over town that night, and yet the largest by far was the demonstration held in Haymarket Square. Three speakers were scheduled to address an audience of 1,200 plus Chicago workers. The subject was police brutality. The first to talk was socialist revolutionary August Spies. His 20-minute speech was mild for him, but there was no mitigating the incendiary atmosphere. The famous anarchist Albert Parsons was next, and yet he too sensed that any word might be a match to kerosene, and so he was reluctant to ramjet his rhetoric. By the time the third speaker stood, it seemed as though the evening might end peacefully after all. A chilly rain had sent all but about 300 of them home. Those stalwart few did not appear particularly angry, but then something ironic and awful happened. As the last speaker, it was a teamster named Fielden, uttered these words, "In conclusion," as he spoke those two words, 180 police officers arrived on the scene. One of the policemen, Captain Ward, ordered the meeting to disperse. And then, without warning, an unseen hand hurled a dynamite bomb at the police. It exploded among them. It killed 7 and wounded 70. The authorities launched a full-scale search for the bomb thrower. The newspapers condemned the socialists and the anarchists, and the history books would remember forever what happened in May of 1886 as the Haymarket Riot. But this is the rest of the story. As the smoke from the explosives cleared, a host of Chicago's high and mighty were revealed quaking in their boots. Meatpacking and railroading and retailing tycoons were now suddenly vulnerable as never before, and fearful that the enraged workers in their midst might come to attack them in their homes. And as the fat cats trembled citywide, those who lived in the high-fashion lakefront suburb of Lake Forest decided to defend themselves. And in a remarkably clever, if extraordinarily costly way, anxious Lake Forest families prevailed on the Commercial Club of Chicago and on the Chicago Board of Trade to make a real estate deal, the most lopsided real estate deal since Manhattan Island sold for $28. They charged the federal government $10 for 698 acres of prime lakefront property, provided the War Department would build there on a military reservation. And thus would armed soldiers constantly stand on guard between the palatial mansions of the North Shore and the labor agitators and the anarchists of Chicago. And that's how Fort Sheridan was born. Not exactly as a fort, but rather as, a kind of a guardhouse for the rich and the powerful. And by the way, now is more than 100 years later, you may have heard that the federal government is closing many military reservations around the United States and phasing out others. And one of those to be closed is Fort Sheridan, north of Chicago. And the almost 700 acres for which the government once paid $10... may now be sold to developers for more than $200 million. Of course, now you know why. Because now you know the rest of the story.